Hello and welcome to Fruits of the Spirit, a bi-weekly podcast celebrating and sharing the faith journeys of queer and trans people of color. My name is Enrique Cintron and I am your host. Friends, I hope that you are doing well and staying safe during this time. And if you are anything like me, I'm sure that you have been refreshing and checking your bank account every single hour because I really need that stimulus check. Where is my stimulus check, Joe? Sorry. I am just really anxious about it. So I hope that if you're anxious too about getting that stimulus money, that it's not too overwhelming. It's coming. It's coming. Today on the show, I am sharing a conversation that I had with my friend Yanni. And I'm really excited to bring this talk to you. Yanni is a friend of mine from my time in Boston. You're going to notice a theme on this show because I met a lot of really wonderful people when I lived in Boston for the Episcopal Service Corps. So I do have a little family up there. I really love those folks, even though I do not care for Boston. That is a separate conversation. Anyway, before we get to the conversation with Yanni, I'm just going to share a new opportunity that we have for fans of this show. Some of you may know that I have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/themologian. And the Patreon basically just supports not just this podcast, but also some of my other online ministries as far as like my website and videos that I'm making and devotionals, ebooks, books that I'm writing. To all of you who have become patrons recently, let me just say thank you, first of all. And if you are thinking of becoming a patron, here is a new opportunity that may incentivize you to do that. So starting last week, actually, we launched a new patron-only podcast. So that's a bonus podcast in addition to this one. It's called Second Helping. And Second Helping is going to have bonus episodes from the main show. It's going to have conversations that were cut from the main episode, as well as sermons and meditations, affirmations, stuff that I've written that I will share on that podcast. And I'm hoping to also have some of our guests contribute content to that as well. And so I am really excited to share that all with you. You can get access to Second Helping at any tier of the Patreon. The tiers start at $5 a month. So if that's all you can give right now, you just sign up and you will get access to Second Helping. And I'm really excited to be able to share these little bonus conversations with you all. And I hope that you will become a patron today. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce this week's guest, Yanni Burgos. After being introduced to community organizing as a teenager, Yanni, who uses she and they pronouns, has committed her life to community-led social change. For the last 10 years, Yanni has explored how my different communities work together to build power, particularly among folks of color and LGBTQI individuals and communities. She sees her spiritual direction practice and ways of connecting with the divine as key pieces of her own contribution to collective liberation. They enjoy finding innovative ways to use a slow cooker, chanting on the beach at sunrise, and searching for the latest and greatest trends in sneaker fashion. Please welcome Yanni and enjoy this episode. Welcome back to Fruits of the Spirit. I am your host, Enrique Cintron, and I am here with my lovely friend, Yanni.
Hey, y'all.
I'm so excited to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, it was flurrying yesterday here in Boston, and today it's very sunny, so I'm taking it as I go.
You know, just some light global warming, perhaps.
Yeah. Right, maybe. Casual.
Casual. How has this time of pandemic and limbo between all of our regularly scheduled activities been for you?
Yeah, I mean, it has been both challenging, and I know I am very privileged to also say it's been really centering on the challenging front. So I, as you know, I'm currently based in Boston, but most of my family is based in New York City and the like New Jersey right outside of New York City context. And COVID has been a trying time. You know, I know a couple people or a couple like close family members who have had it, and thank God have like recovered and so far don't have any wild symptoms, but the proximity of COVID has been challenging. And at the same time, this has been a really clearing moment for me and clarifying, to both be able to like hone in on the ways in which I want to show up to the world. And get clarity around like what do I want to contribute moving forward? Like this pandemic will impact all the communities I'm a part of and adjacent to in really short term and long term ways. So I'm feeling like okay, this is for me a in thinking long term, the like this is the ramp up moment because showing up is gonna look really differently.
Yeah,
No.
absolutely.
No.
Yeah, I resonate a lot with, you know, it being a moment of clarity and, you know, kind of refining your focus. I think, you know, in many ways, like as horrible as this experience has been, it's also been a time for folks to really like sit with stuff that perhaps they've been avoiding or telling themselves that they can't, you know, do. Like these moments of like, you know, rediscovering dreams or visions that they've had as far as like, you know, how do I want to like contribute to movement, or how do I, you know, want to like, you know, spend my free time and all that kind of stuff. So it's a blessing in those ways, and it also like still is a horrible time. So yeah, we have to hold the complexity of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's been sustaining for you throughout this whole time, you know, like books or TV shows or self-care practices, relationships?
Yeah, I mean, I am really grateful that for most of my life, I've been a major music fan, and had already had a practice of doing quarterly playlists. And Lord knows that COVID, I needed me a good playlist. And surprisingly, 2020 has been a really beautiful moment in music across all genres.
Truly, yes.
Like I both hate and love to admit that I have really jumped on the Dua Lipa train. That whole album has been saving me. This tiny desk, oh my God. So it's like music has definitely been a real source of sustenance. I'm trying to like think about what other mostly media has been a real place of sustenance. Dove in to Schitt's Creek in a real way. If you noticed on my Instagram, we did costume challenges in my little household where we picked a character out of a hat. You had a week to figure out your costume. The world of Instagram voted on who won. So new ways of like being creative. And then it was like a really needed pivot for me spiritually. COVID really offered me and one of my housemates a space to commit more fully to a meditation practice.
Awesome.
And for me, meditation like includes centering prayer as well as my tarot practice. I have been doing tarot as like a way to connect with God for many years now. Is that true? Yes, that's true. Like, how many is many? More than two. But this year in particular, like to really get grounded in the like, okay, in addition to verbal prayer, in addition to centering prayer, how do I connect with God through a different kind of imagery? And you know, as somebody who was raised in a evangelical Christian tradition where things like tarot were not considered a language through which you can engage with Jesus. It's been a really clearing moment for me of like, oh no, me and Jesus can hang through. Like yesterday when I got the high priestess card, I was like, oh, okay, got it. This is a moment where I need to be grounding more in a number of different things, right? Or when I'm like, Jesus was good, and I'll get a card that's like, oh, this is what's good. Cool, great. Yeah, so like that's definitely been a sustaining practice for me.
Amazing. Well, firstly, I agree, the past year in music was unreal. Unreal. I just, between Lady Gaga's album and Dua Lipa and just so many good songs came out this past year, and they just really helped so many of us through that. I was actually speculating with some friends of mine recently as far as what music we think that we're gonna get this year. What do you are you anticipating albums that you're secretly hoping will come out this year? Or do you have any insights as to what might be? I don't know how connected you are to the music scene, but if you wanna drop any insider tips.
Drop some hints, I wish. I mean, well, the one we know for sure will likely happen this year. That this is right. Like the one we know for sure is likely maybe gonna happen. I'm ready for an Adele album. I've been ready for a while. I was very happy that she was happy and was like, no more. And I'm like, great, live your life, ma'am. But the moment it came out that she was working on something, I'm like, I'm so sad you're sad, but let's go. I'm ready to cry. Do this thing. And like most people, we don't deserve a Rihanna album, but I would like it.
I'm
I
just
was
saying.
right, it's like, you've been doing a lot of good for the world, Rihanna, but you know what could do my soul some real goodness? I would like to be able to shake my ass to a Soca-themed album. That's it. That's all I I
Just
was
the little
re
things.
yes exactly I was reintroduced to her song Watch and Learn, which I maybe listened to once in my life, and now I'm like, wait, I'm sorry, I've been missing out this whole time. Yeah, so I'm like reconnecting to my desire. But the other thing I'm really looking forward to is, so there's an artist named Amber Mark, who
Oh,
she's yeah, and she was doing this project where every couple of weeks during COVID, she was just like fooling around and would just drop a new song, with no desire to have it like connected to any project or anything. And some of them were like remixes to things or covers of things. Some of them were responding to the political moment. And just to be able to see that level of creativity, we've seen a number of different artists posting about like, oh, this moment is hard. My aunt has a deep love of Ricky Martin, and she and I have been talking about like he's regularly posting like, oh, the only thing that's getting me through this time of disconnection is figuring out how to connect to my music and my creativity. And I don't think that'll be exclusive to some of these big name artists. So I'm really curious, hopeful, and excited to see what people are going to be coming up with soon.
I'm also going to just name it and claim it, please. Rihanna, if you are by some chance listening to this, I
Number one,
just,
say hi.
yes, number one, hi. Number two, I would just really deeply appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I already spent so much money on Fenty skin products. I just really want this album. It would just do my soul so much good. So switching gears slightly, I would love to hear about your faith journey and your journey of coming to know yourself as queer and how you're Afro-Latinx identity intersects with that as well, and all of the things. Tell me the things.
I love that you went to this question because some of what I was also going to say around like intuition of like as a queer non-binary person, it has taken me so long to trust my intuition. And my faith journey is actually a really deep part of that. So I, as I said, grew up in this more evangelical Latinx context. That was a predominantly Dominican context. And you know, this may be a controversial statement. A lot of Dominicans are black, you know? like Black Latinx led faith community was actually really affirming to my sense of self. Like I felt like I was being supported as a leader, really felt seen in that context. And at the same time that I was being supported to lean deeper into my leadership in the church community, was where my queerness, at least at the initial point where my queerness was starting to become more clear to me, and became a real like internal battle of what does it mean to like really love God, really have this for me this really robust relationship with the Holy Spirit, and in that process like identify like, oh homie, I'm definitely not straight. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depends on which lens you see it at, that realization came at the same time that this church that I had been a part of, who loved me, that I felt really cared for and supported, began for its first time, at least in my experience of it, to get political around being against civil unions in New Jersey. And I remember really distinctly, like sitting in the pulpit and seeing one of the leaders who like really had backed me come up on stage with the minister to be like, and this is why we can't support civil unions, and da, 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 and was a real heartbreaking moment for me. And in that moment, I was like, oh, okay, I actually don't belong here. And pulled away entirely from the church. I mean, the timing of it was such that my mom still to this day credits it as like, oh yeah, you were in puberty and like you needed a sense of independence. But I really couldn't be honest that like, no, it wasn't independence. It was that I have identified a truth in myself and I can't be in relationship to a community that won't see that won't honor my truth. And even in saying that just now, I was like, wow, that's really beautiful as a 13-year-old to see that. But because of that, like I pulled away entirely from organized religion. But I can't ever say that my relationship to the Holy Spirit ever stopped. I like went to the Christian club in my high school while at the same time being a part of the Gay Straight Alliance. And at times, like we would hold an event in the Gay Straight Alliance, and my friends at the Christian club would show up. And despite me feeling like, oh, there should be some sense of dissonance here, there never was. So I had some internal questions, but how I was starting to see things was like, oh. So why was I dissonant over here when in this context things feel really clear or really feel possible? And it wasn't until I think it was like my senior year in college. I remember sitting at a table. That was when I was starting to get more like actively politicized and doing particularly student organizing around systems of support for students of color and first gen students. And I was sitting at a table with it was myself, someone who identified as Methodist, someone who identified as Muslim, someone who identified as Catholic. And the three of them started a conversation around like, oh, what are we thinking about doing once we graduate? One of them wanted to get ordained. Another one was getting ready to go home to like support at her mosque. And someone else wanted to be a teacher, but talked about like, oh, and how do I connect like my Catholicism to my teaching as a form of social justice work? And I remember being like, hold the phone, y'all. What do you mean that your faith, and like your faith is how you're connecting to social justice? And they like stared at me for like maybe 3 seconds and burst laughing. And we're like, Yanni, this is why we do this work. It's like our faith is deeply connected to why we believe that social justice needs to be a driving force in the world. And it kind of like blew my mind. So since that moment, I was like, okay, one, I have such a commitment to racial, economic, and social justice. Why didn't I ever see that as a connection to my faith? And two, wait, that can be a thing. So
Truly.
when I ended in college, I reached out to a church context that seemed like they had that connection down, and were queer affirming and were trans affirming. At that point, I was really getting clear and embracing my non-binary identity, and was like, you don't need to believe in Jesus to be down with wanting to see faith and social change be together. It's actually Middle Collegiate Church who recently the church actually just burned down. And I have like real, real love and real, real gratitude for that community, because they were the bridge for me to be like, oh, me and Jesus can be buddies again in a really active way. And particularly to be in a faith context where like interracial or multiracial, multi-faith, multi-generational, allowed me to really embrace like, okay, as an Afro-Latinx person, like I don't need to choose any one identity in order for me to be my full self, right? Like I, for so long, have like grappled with what does it mean to be someone whose family immigrated to the US after US colonialization, because of US colonialization, and whose faith traditions are like rooted in colonization. Like, can I actually like be Christian? And it being in that space where folks weren't exclusively Christian, but who wanted to have some sort of faith expression, who believed that there are higher powers, a higher power, and that that is rooted in the like love and support of ourselves and therefore each other. I was like, oh, I can really embrace all of that facets of who I am. So really roundabout like way to talk about my faith journey, but I like today and even like in starting the new year was like, okay, I actually really want to get back in what does it mean to be someone whose faith foundation is really rooted in the Christian tradition, and someone who really believes in the ways in which the Holy Spirit in particular moves through the world. So it's like this question is actually coming at a really fruitful moment for me.
I'm so glad to hear that. And thank you for sharing that story. I mean, it's, all of our stories are like roundabout, with lots of twists and turns and unexpected things. And I really resonated too with like, having this sense of like dissonance in one part between, faith and queerness, but then like moving to another space and feeling like, oh, well, like that's not actually present for me at all over here. So like why is it that way in the first place? That's an experience that I definitely like resonate a lot with. Can you tell me a little bit about your organizing work and how your faith informs that, and vice versa?
So, I mean, I said I started to speak a little bit to this, but both in the context of this Gay Straight Alliance and going to Smith for undergrad. Both of these places were really the beginnings of my understanding of what even community organizing was. I remember I'm still in relationship with the staff support person who held the Gay Straight Alliance. And after I graduated high school, I had like a frank conversation with her where I was like, Amy, what were you doing with us? Like, I feel like I talked to other people who were in Gay Straight Alliances, and we were not talking strategy around how to address a hate crime with the principal. And she just like laughs at me and is like, yeah, Yanni, I couldn't tell y'all that I wanted to teach you how to do community organizing. Y'all expressed an interest, and I was like, here's some ways we can respond. And you
Right.
all decided this was how you wanted to respond. So I was like, great, I can bring these skills and practices and support y'all to do
Amazing.
that. And so it's like, at least on the baseline, it was just like, oh, okay, so organizing is a thing that we can do to build power. Great, fine, good. And then that like circle table moment of like, wait, what? So faith can be a part of this? Yeah, it was really mind blowing. And since then, I've like really began to dive a little bit deeper into like liberation theology and even just like the baseline of these translations of the Bible that are really common, spell out a story about how Jesus moved. And in particular, like my favorite passage is the like Acts story of Jesus bouncing and folks being like, okay, so what do we do now? And then suddenly, tongues of fire, gay as hell, but that's another story. Tongues of fire appearing and spirit moving in such a beautiful way that people were compelled to take everything they own and compiling it together and like giving based on need what people would have and supporting community. I'm just like, if that's not a radical notion of socialism and how the church should function, I don't know what is.
Amazing. Come on.
And it's like, so now I'm like, oh, there is, for me, there is no way that like my community organizing work, my social justice work is disconnected from my faith. I feel like there is a very clear imperative of like Jesus existed in a moment where, or Jesus was alive in a moment where empire was alive and well. And he looked at empire, he looked at the communities he was a part of and adjacent to, and was like, this isn't going to work. This is not congruent. Well, let's talk about what the kingdom of God actually is. And like really expressing, like, this isn't a hierarchical structure of who has power and who doesn't, but it is, I really love the reframing of like the kingdom of God, of like, we are together in this. And if we're going to do this, things need to look really differently. Yeah, and I've been really fortunate to be in relationship with community organizers across so many different movements, and especially currently in the Sunrise movement, who don't see their justice work as separate from their faith. And in some of my practices, like in my spiritual direction work, it's like I see my role as like backing organizers, backing people of faith who are interested in doing social justice work around let's not create false distinctions here. This work is connected and this work is really holy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we really can't deny the fact that, I mean, you can do a really good job of trying to like hide the fact that, Jesus was a political person. I mean, really, the church has been doing that for centuries, just trying to pretend that Jesus was like some like nice happy hippie who just happened to be murdered.
For no reason at all, you
For
know?
no reason at all, definitely not for challenging power structures, definitely not for, trying to advocate for the redistribution of wealth.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I mean, It's so easy, I think, for folks to kind of like feel as though spirituality has to be divorced from these things because, the ways in which we've come to understand it is like purely an individualistic and personal. I have my God time on Sunday and that's it. But like all of our faith traditions, not just Christianity, speak to that need for collective transformation and living into a dream that, the universe has for us. So yeah, I'm really glad that you are able to bring that focus to your organizing. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. We're back. I would love to hear a bit more about how you came to spiritual direction and what your approach to that is, and maybe also like explaining to folks who aren't familiar with spiritual direction, like what it is and what it isn't.
Great. And I appreciate the question on what it is and what it isn't, because Lord knows that when I was introduced to spiritual direction, I was like, what is this about? What is it for? Why do we need this?
Is it therapy? No.
So for me, let me actually just start with I was introduced to spiritual direction, and then I could go into the framing. So what brought me to Boston and what introduced me to you was this program here run by the Episcopal Service Corps called Life Together. Very interesting program. Lord knows we both have a lot of thoughts on it. But one of the like systems of support, which is really just a requirement of the program, was that you saw a spiritual director. And they didn't really give me a frame, at least my cohort year, around what spiritual direction was about. And it was really more of just like, this is what you have to do. And I'm like, okay, cool. I mean, I guess. And I entered the spiritual direction relationship with the person that was assigned to me. And I literally walked in and was like, I don't know what we're supposed to be doing here. I just have to show up and do this once a month. To which he was like, yeah, we could let it be whatever it needs to be. Like, don't worry about it. And it was through that initial relationship that I was able to be like, oh, so this is more than just, for example, or like it's very different than just like going to a therapist. And so for me, spiritual direction, and in particular, I relate more to like spiritual partner or spiritual like accompaniment, is a way in which you can invite a person to walk with you, whether it's in your day-to-day life, in a moment of transition, in a moment of like deep reflection, to sit with you and like reflect back the ways in which spirit, the divine, whatever language may work best, your like sense of intuition is working in your life. And for me in particular, like spiritual direction is a way to you bring my curiosity into someone's person's life to highlight and to ask questions that to me supports folks to recognize the way in which the divine is moving. And I think it's like a co-creative space, you know, like it's really beautiful that someone can step into a space having container held for them to reflect and to like think about really whatever they want. But it isn't a practice of like, oh, I'm going to tell you what to do, or oh, I'm going to answer, like solve problems with you, or for you, rather. I'm here to like solve problems maybe with you, driven by your noticings, your like thoughts and reflections, but allow me to really lean into my intuition, my sense of the divine, to say, hey, I noticed you said XYZ about this work meeting that you had. I felt a sense of like excitement. How does that resonate for you? Or I started laughing when you said this thing, and you started laughing with me. Like, what is funny about this moment? Or even like in spaces where language, like really explicit language around senses of the divine are at play, are like, okay, so you've recognized, for example, that this is a moment of like clarifying your vocation. What does vocation mean to you? Again, really like being able to ask questions around my sense of curiosity and trusting that that curiosity will take us somewhere that'll allow that sense of divine to be present.
I mean, I also really love, I prefer accompaniment over direction as well. Because for me, like the way that I've also to understand it is like it really is like a form of spiritual friendship and walking with somebody along their journey and just witnessing it and sharing what you see and what you notice. I think maybe the way that it's different from like our like regular platonic relationships is like, your friends can tell you like you need to dump his ass, and maybe your spiritual director doesn't tell you that. Or maybe they do, I don't know. I know that I definitely have had some moments where my spiritual director kind of like gently reads me for filth, in a very like compassionate and mindful way, but I'm just like, I feel like a little bit attacked. Because like I'll be sharing something about like my need for something to be perfect, and she'll ask a question like, what would it look like for you to just like yourself like fail at this? Like, what would that feel like for you? Like just really trying to get to that fear. And I'm like, you know what? I did actually pay for you to attack me in this way, but I just wasn't expecting it.
And I
So
mean,
yeah.
even in that, like, and I like even in I also have seen a spiritual director who has done something very similar. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm starting to feel feelings. And they literally were like, okay, great, let's talk about those feelings. Why do you think you're feeling that way? And I'm like, because it's true. So having that like honest conversation around like what is even this reaction about, like, is a part of that relationship and a part of that. You're right, like you are paying someone to hear you and then reflect it right back.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely like, been a really like great practice for me to be in, and to also like I'm really excited to be, joining you as a colleague and becoming a spiritual director myself. I'm very excited about that. But yeah, I mean, I would say like to all of our listeners out there, if you're like interested after hearing us talk about spiritual direction and you're like, maybe that would benefit me also, like, you don't have to be clergy to, enter into spiritual direction with somebody. You don't have to like have like this, long established faith life. Like if you're just kind of like trying to get back into spirituality, like it's, a really good time to explore that if you're feeling like, oh, this could be for me.
And like spirituality of all kinds, you know, there really is no sense of like limitation, especially like for me in my practice. I really like it would actually be really challenging for me to only see, for example, like Christian clients, you know, because that doesn't like in the same way that my role in spiritual direction is like to offer the reflection back, it doesn't serve me to only reflect back the things of in like my lens and the only lens that I might have. And similarly, like, right, like this practice, the practice of being in relationship with someone through spiritual accompaniment, is a way of practicing liberation, you know, at the like self level, in the interpersonal, through doing that reflective work, and the communities that we're a part of that then like are enhanced and supported by that liberatory work.
Oof.
No.
I just went to church for a second. Oh, it's all of that. I have no response. I'm like, yep, that's amazing. So I want to switch gears a little bit again, because we're in this season of Lent, and I'm wondering what your relationship to this liturgical season of Lent has been, for you be previously, and how have you taken on practices during this season, or do you not take anything on? How do you enter into this season?
So I feel like now, as a 29-year-old, my relationship to Lent is very different than in various stages of my life. As a younger person, when we were more rooted in the Catholic tradition, my family was like very strict around, okay, pick the thing to let go. Like, you're not allowed to do this. Usually it was my Game Boy, partly because it wasn't my choice. Take a break on that. Like, oh, okay. And some of my like the framing and my understanding of Lent was a bit from a place of like, oh, you're restricting yourself in the interest of being able to celebrate with Jesus. And as I grew older, I was like, what is that about? And so totally let go of doing any sort of practices. And maybe 3 years ago, I have the distinct memory of walking down Comm Ave near the like BU Boston University area, walking past the Otto pizza shop. And there was, I'm not totally sure what song was playing, and we were in the midst of Lent. And I literally had to stop because my eyes just started tearing up and was just like, where is Jesus in this moment? And that moment has totally pivoted my relationship to Lent. And experiencing Lent as a slowdown moment of, okay, where is Jesus? And I don't really have a lot of like language and articulation yet around what Lent means for me. It feels like this phase of my life is pushing me to create a relationship to Lent. That in that same season where suddenly I was like, oh, I need to pay attention to Lent, was when I started bread making. And it was a specifically okay for these next 15 days because we were very close to Easter at that point. I'm like, I am going to make bread every few days, which was a gift to the intentional community I lived in. And was a like, what is the process of release? This it was the recipes I was using, which took about at least 2 days. The process of slowing down, the process of looking at these raw materials and slowly seeing them transform into something totally different. I don't yet know, like again, where that fits into my future relationship to Lent, but there's something about that like that transformative process of seeing these raw ingredients like live in this in-between space, where they were malleable, where the thing could literally die at any moment and instead become something new and become something that like sustained more than just myself. You know, I think there's something there.
I was just about to say, I mean, there's this whole like theme of transforming and changing, and that's very much part of the Easter story. of like dying and then rising again.
Yep. Positive.
Literally rising in this case.
Yep. Anyway, I hear the pun coming.
Yep.
Yeah, so now I'm just like, okay. And given like, great, we at this point like don't have a clear assessment of like what will these, for example, new COVID variants mean for our day-to-day reality. How many more may be coming? Like living in this liminal space, and having been in this liminal space for so long, I think that this round of Lent is going to take on a whole new meaning for quite a few of us.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's something that I mentioned this last episode, but my partner and I wrote a devotional for Lent,
Yeah, love it.
which will have been released by the time this comes out. One of the themes that we've been working with is using this space of Lent as renewal. Because so often Lent is, about like you're a bad person, you're a really bad person, you need to change, which is like, that's part of the historic tradition of the season. But we wanted to like kind of imagine, like how can you use this season to think about like what is going to be different after Easter, and how can you, kind of prepare yourself for this like renewal and new life. So are there areas in your life that you feel like you've been experiencing that renewal or that restoration recently or in the past year?
That's a beautiful question. I was like, give me a minute.
Sure, yeah.
So, I think what's coming up in this moment, let's see where the thread goes, is starting 2021 and feeling really clear around, like, okay, my relationship, particularly, I have, I think in part because of my faith background in that evangelical context, like three unique relationships with that Christian notion of parent, child, and spirit, where I feel like my relationship to the parenthood is like, I don't know about you. Me
That's fair.
and me and spirit, like it's just like me and spirit are like, yes, like spirit is my cheerleader, and the place where like I feel most creative and can really play. But again, me, like I bring up Jesus a lot because I don't know how to relate to Jesus. Jesus feels like that older sibling that's like, oh, I want to know who you are, but I don't even know how to begin. There's enough of an age difference here where you weren't around in the same way that I was around. And I say that because I have a sibling who we have a 10 and a half year difference. And so I'm literally like, oh, I wonder how this is how that feels. And, I think for 2021, and now that I'm saying that, it is likely I will actually do this for as my Lenten practice, of really sitting with like who Jesus is and like renewing that curiosity around who Jesus is. I know Jesus as like some sense of a historical figure. I don't know my Bible the way I used to once upon a time, and who I was then is not who I am now. And so, what does it mean to relate to this human who, like, regardless of what faith tradition or relationship you faith you come from, really did change the world, really changed the notion of how the world would continue to be? Who is that? And also, who are the people who made that person who they are, you know? Like I have so much clarity that like who I am is rooted in the people who I'm in relationship with, and this story, like we rarely have a story of Jesus in isolation. We got a small handful, but most of the stories that stand out to me around who Jesus is around like how Jesus responded to other people, of how like other people responded to Jesus, of like who challenged Jesus. And so I think there is something there for me around renewal that I am both very curious about, a little afraid of, and looking forward to. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I feel you on kind of feeling like sometimes Jesus is that older sibling for me as well, where I'm like, I think you're really cool and I want to be like you, but also I feel like, we're just like we're a little bit too different. So like,
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how I'm supposed to talk to you.
Right. Right.
But then other times I just talk to Jesus, like, he's like my good Judy, and I'm just like, girl,
Exactly.
girl.
It's like, oh, you know what I'm talking about, right? And like having full
Yeah.
confidence that, yep, the answer is uh-huh. Yep, keep going.
Well, just to wrap up, I want to ask you one last question. I don't know if I sent you this one ahead of time, so I
Great
apologize
comment.
if I did it. If there's something that you would like to pass on, like a word of wisdom or a little piece of advice or something that you would want to pass on to queer and trans people of color in faith community, maybe something that you needed to hear at one point in your life. What would that be?
Yeah, what's coming up for me right now to share that both has been a support to me, and that I constantly need a reminder in, is Octavia Butler's like famous phrase, or at least has become the very famous phrase, the only thing that's constant is change. And that change is neither good nor bad. Like it is whatever we make change to be is how change impacts us. And as like queer and trans people of color, boy do we know change, you know? And boy do we bring change, really beautiful change to the world. And so mainly like embracing change in whatever way you need to embrace it, because it's the only thing we have that's constant. Yeah, only thing we can count on. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a word. I needed that today. 'Cause sometimes I'm just like, I don't want this to be different. And God's just like, no, you really need it to be.
Right. And I don't know about, well, I don't know about you, but I have a very deep relationship to astrology. And as a Taurus, I'm not about this change life. A very active practice is being like, oh, yes, change. Change is constant. Meanwhile, I am the bull that's like, but why though? Do I need change? Do
Wow.
we need change right now? And the answer is, of course, we do.
Oh, fine. Well, friend, thank you so much for being in conversation with me today. This was
You.
beautiful.
Yeah, I loved it. Thanks for guiding us along.
Hi, friends. Thank you again for tuning into this week's episode of Fruits of the Spirit with my friend Yanni Burgos. I hope that you enjoyed it. You can follow the show on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at FOTS Podcast, that's FOTS Podcast, as well as on Facebook at Fruits of the Spirit Podcast. If you love the show, please make sure to share it with your community. Tell your friends, your family, your pastors, your faith leaders, faith communities, all the people. Please. Thanks. If you'd like to support the work of this show financially, there are two ways that you can do that. I have a Patreon page at patreon.com/themologian. And if you become a patron, you can not only support the work of this podcast, but my other online ministries like devotional writing and videos. If you'd prefer to just support this show, you can go to our Anchor page at anchor.fm/FOTSPodcast, where you can set up a monthly recurring donation. Lastly, if you know of a queer or trans person of color that you think would be a great guest for this show, please recommend them by sending an email to FOTSPodcast@gmail.com. Just share a little bit of their story with me and how I can get in contact with them, and I will reach out. Until next time, friends, please stay safe, stay healthy, and stay fruity.